Welcome to That's Wild Podcast, the podcast that explores the amazing natural world that surrounds us and astounds us. I'm your MC, Dustin Bean, and our host, Susan Altrui, and Joy Matlock will share insights and mind-blowing facts that will leave you saying, "That's wild." It's all about inspiring you, the listener, to value and conserve our natural world. That's Wild is brought to you by the Arkansas Zoological Foundation and produced by the Little Rock Zoo. So with that, let's get wild.
Welcome, everyone. We're so glad you're back. We're glad to be here. We have a really great episode today that's all about tool use, brainiacs, the animal world, and all kinds of great things about problem solving. Welcome to That's Wild. I'm Susan Altrui, your host, the director of the Little Rock Zoo, and I am joined by the fascinating, the wonderful, the fantastic co-host, Joy Matlock. Joy, welcome.
Thank you.
What have we got today?
You're a great hype lady, I have to say.
Oh, look, I'm here for the hypeness. I'm the hype queen today, especially when it comes to you, Joy. I'm just excited that you're here.
Well, we are talking about animal intelligence, yep. And lots of surprises today. Lots of surprises in Animal Kingdom about animal intelligence, so I'm excited to get into it.
Okay, I'm excited, too. Look, I am just excited to be here. Look, I'm already, my tool is already failing me. I'm going to put this tool away, because I can't seem to manage it, so we're going to put that down.
Okay.
And we're going to carry on. We also are joined today by the ever wonderful, fascinating Hannah, who's got an animal guest.
Yes.
We love an animal guest, uh-huh. Don't we?
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh. Who's the animal guest? Or do we want to let that be a surprise?
I think we're going to let that be a surprise.
I love a surprise.
But it's going to be a smart animal, an animal that's very intelligent, so we know that already. So.
Okay, I like a smart animal too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, let's uncover the genius of the wild, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to start with the fascinating aspect of animal intelligence. Now, this is all about tool use.
Okay.
So, while we often think of tools as something unique to humans, many animals have figured out how to use objects on their own just to make life easier, right?
Yeah, and some of the most well-known tool users in the animal kingdom are animals like primates, sea otters. There are lots of animals that have learned how to adapt tools around them, whether it's a stick or rocks, to make their lives easier.
Yes.
For instance, did you know that octopi, which is the plural of octopus, can use coconuts for their own protection and shells. And I
did not know that, actually.
Yeah. No. I remember watching a documentary, I think it was on Netflix, called My Octopus Friend.
And not My Octopus Friend.
Yes. But this man had created a relationship with an octopus that he would see every day he would swim by.
Okay.
But anyway, I remember one part of it, they were showing the octopus hiding herself underneath the sand and underneath the shells. So that's one way that they use tools
for their protection. I think I know about this. Mm-hmm. Wasn't she taking the rocks, and when there were like annoying male octopus, she was coming by and she was tossing the rocks
at
them?
That was part of the documentary, too.
This is my hero. Yeah. She's actually my hero. An annoying male would come up and she would just like chunk a rock at him.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful and fascinating. Mm-hmm. She's my hero. Mm-hmm. So I've also noticed something about the chimpanzees at our zoo. Have you ever seen, we have a termite mound that we made. At the zoo, and it's in their exhibit, in their habitat. I love when they stuff peanut butter in that little habitat, in the little holes.
Mm-hmm.
They will go and find sticks, and they'll take the stick and they'll like dig it into the hole, and they'll dig out the peanut butter, and it kind of mimics what they do in the wild, because they'll use that stick as a tool. That's really smart. Yeah,
that's smart.
Yeah, it's clever. It's clever. what was that? Did we just hear something?
I think that's one of our special guests.
Kind of a foreshadowing to what's coming later.
And you know, there are also capuchin monkeys. You're talking about primates. Capuchin monkeys will use rocks to crack nuts that they're trying to get into to eat.
Okay.
So that's another way that they animals can use tools.
Is it like bang it together?
Or maybe bang on a larger rock, perhaps?
Yeah. That's kind of like what I do when I'm trying to do that on my countertop. I just like bang it on the countertop, you know.
Try to get into whatever.
So like, I guess like I'm a primate. That just makes sense,
right? Well, we're kind of related, aren't we?
Kind of are. Makes sense.
Closer to chimpanzees.
Right.
And then, you know, there's crows that can bend wires for using tools.
Look, I'm fascinated by crows.
As you should be, because they are interesting birds that that tell us a lot about the animal kingdom.
Yeah, I've also heard that a crow can hold a grudge for like 17 years. Is this really true? Like, we got to find this out if that's really true. I've heard they can hold a grudge for a very long time.
Sounds very human. sounds very
maybe
me-like.
We're a little bit more crow-like than we would want to.
Yeah, that might be the thing. That might be the thing.
Yeah.
But these are some examples, and then we're just barely scratching the surface of how animals can be intelligent.
Barely scratching the surface, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm going to talk a little bit about problem solving, because there's so many animals that solve problems in some really unique ways, and I think it shows a lot about animal intelligence, mm-hmm. The problem-solving abilities, and there's so many species that have these higher-level thinking skills and critical thinking skills to help to solve problems, and you know they have challenges in front of them every day in the wild, and you have to have critical thinking skills to be able to solve those problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's part of being human. I mean, we are an animal, mm-hmm. But it's all over the wild, too, in various forms.
And sure, you know, it might be something, you know, like an animal is having to evade a predator or feed mm-hmm. its child or, yep. or whatever. But yeah, problem-solving skills are part
of it. Thinking in creative ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, that we've seen, researchers have seen in elephants, they have a level of self-awareness where they've put mirrors in front of elephants and they can recognize that that's them instead of a mm-hmm. you know another type of animal or another elephant in its herd.
Interesting.
And that's, you know, that goes to their cognition and their level of intelligence, which is,
you know,
really
elephants are very, very intelligent beings.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We see that in so many different examples of their ability to do so many different things in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
They're just an absolutely fascinating creature. So dolphins are a really interesting species too, mm-hmm. and I saw their ability to herd fish, and I saw this when I was at the beach recently. So they will get together, and then they will encircle like mm-hmm. like a big school of fish,
mm-hmm.
and just herd all of these fish together and work as a team
right.
to do it.
Right.
And then and I saw this. It was the most fascinating thing. So I was on the beach. And all of these dolphins just got together. They pushed all the fish together. And you could see the fish just like in this big school, just masses of them. And they were just like jumping. And then all of a sudden the dolphins just like jumped in and just
mm-hmm.
had a feast.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was really fascinating is that the gulls were like, hey,
right.
it's dinner time.
Exactly.
So they came down
right.
and also enjoyed some fish too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, amazing. It was amazing.
Teamwork,
yes.
problem solving.
Yep, teamwork makes the dream work.
Feed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Feed your friends.
Feed your friends too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And ravens can solve complex puzzles in their their raven life. You know, I don't know if that means that they go
right.
they go buy the 500 piece puzzles or what, but they can solve puzzles. But this leads me,
I'm sure that's like something researchers have done, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
I was thinking about we've talked about my dog that no longer is with us, Bella, before.
Yeah.
And we bought her a like a wooden puzzle
uh-huh.
piece.
Yeah.
And what you did is you hid little tidbits of food underneath the piece of wood. And
uh-huh.
the goal of it was for her to figure out to use her paw to slide it.
Interesting.
To unveil the food.
Uh-huh.
And she did that. Swimmingly.
Really?
Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, I guess using her
uh-huh.
nose to smell where the
yep.
food was,
yep.
using her paw to understand that she had it scratch to get it, but then slide it. So
very smart, very
so, yeah.
smart.
So there's all kinds of examples of intelligence in the animal.
Oh, that's
in the
really,
world.
Really interesting. Yeah, you know, rats can navigate mazes by memory.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, I saw something about rats that they're able to drive these little, like, rat-mobiles. It was with treats, but like they would follow it. But anyways, it was fascinating.
That's funny.
So yeah, there's just so many examples of animal intelligence, and it does kind of make you wonder. You know, animals evolve. How
mm-hmm.
much more intelligent are they going to get?
Mm-hmm.
So actually, there's been an interesting study about raccoons that someone is hypothesizing that they have made an evolutionary jump in their intelligence.
Oh dear!
Right, because they are now city dwellers. And they know uh-huh. how to scavenge for food in a different way now because they go to trash cans,
sure.
they're getting food from humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so this person has hypothesized that they've made this evolutionary jump in their intelligence of like how they're getting food from humans now. It's kind of an interesting thought.
You know,
interesting theory.
That is interesting. And I could see that kind of jumping, if you will, to other animals too, because as we know, habitat loss is an issue for animals. And as we encroach,
pushing animals into more urban areas.
And as we continue to encroach on their areas, they're going to adapt. So that's interesting.
They are,
One more tidbit about dogs, though. There are some dogs that have been shown to understand over 250 words. I know there's different levels of intelligence amongst breeds. I think border collies are one of those ones that are considered smart. But it is fascinating, and you have to think about it. Clearly, they have to have some level of intelligence. Number one, to survive every day, and to bring children into or their offspring into the world, if you will, and keep them safe and alive.
Yeah.
So it's just neat to see specific examples of you know, how that stands out.
Well, the natural world is filled with brilliant minds. Mine is one of them. So is yours. I mean, clearly.
Thank you.
You know. Moving on. Yeah.
Sure. So now it's time to talk about our favorite moments. And we are ready to perhaps bring out one of our special guests today.
Ooh, so we love these moments.
Hopefully we will have Hannah come out and bring a guest that talks about what we've been chatting about already, animal intelligence.
So. Oh, it's time. It's time.
Yay.
It's so time. It's time for our animal friends. Yay.
Let's bring on Hannah. Hannah, welcome.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. I'm doing fine. Good. Okay, so clearly you bought a bird.
Yes.
Can you explain who you have, who she is, and all that good stuff?
I would love to. So this is Molly. I'm telling you guys like you don't know her. She's the biggest diva in our whole zoo.
She's such a special guest.
She had her own green room when we walked
in.
For example,
we love that.
So she's a Moluccan cockatoo. She's 28 years old, which is not that old for a cockatoo.
Okay.
And she is in a group of birds called citizens, which are like macaws, other parrots, and those are some of the smartest animals in the world. So she's a perfect example of a little brainiac.
Awesome.
We love that. Very good.
Love a smart
pink.
Girl.
I love that.
She's beautiful. So they're from the Moluccan Islands around Indonesia. There's a really famous test that has been done with parrots in general. So Dr. Pepperberg, I believe is her name, in the early 2000s. She did this really famous study with an African gray parrot named Alex. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
So Alex was taught to recognize different shapes. She could say, I don't know if it was a she or he, more than 150 words.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
He could demonstrate the ability to, like, ask simple questions, do simple arithmetic. I know that's crazy. So she was an animal psychologist, so she knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But that demonstrated that these guys have the cognitive ability of a 6 to 8 year old child.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
She has the emotional maturity of a 2 year old child. But
I know
they're very smart.
That's amazing. I didn't know. I mean, I've learned lots about Molly and her species having talked to you over the years, but I did not know that about her cognitive ability.
Yes, they're super
amazing.
Smart. One of the reasons they have to be so smart is they use tools, just like you guys were talking about before. Parrots can use tools to, like, reach nuts that have fallen out of reach. There was another study, I think it was cockatoos, where they had them get a little piece of cardboard and craft it into a little shape to get a nut out of a little box. And they, like, crafted these tools themselves. There are some parrots that use sticks and things as drums during mating displays.
That's so cute.
So cute.
Play you a song.
I don't know how that wouldn't work to whatever. And, yeah, so they're one of the few animals that use tools in the animal kingdom, which is a really great sign of cognitive ability.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Is there any special story about Molly herself, about why she came to the zoo?
Or any special stories in general about Molly you'd like to share with us?
Molly's full of special stories.
Mm-hmm. She's just a special girl.
She has lots of opinions. She has a favorite artist. Shout out Christina Aguilera. Something about Christina Aguilera's vocals she really, really likes.
Okay.
She gets really excited when she hears her. Speaking of vocals, that's a great talking point for these birds specifically.
Sure.
They mimic human speech. That's what parrots are known for. I'll see if she wants to say hi real quick. But like I said, we're all on her schedule. So.
Absolutely.
You want to say hi? Oh, that was so quiet. Can you say hi?
Oh,
all right, that was kind of her grumpy voice. She has grumpy voices. She has excited voices.
It's early. I can understand that, Molly.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Anything for a peanut.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that they're able to mimic human speech, they obviously don't know exactly what they're saying. They're just copying. And it's because parrots in the wild live in these dense rainforests, mm-hmm. so they have to be really loud so they can communicate with each other mm-hmm. through these dense rainforest trees. And they also have different dialects. So that's how they connect with their flock members. They can tell by mimicking their flock members' sounds who their friends are.
Did basically. Not know about the different dialects. No, that is fascinating.
She's a little bit country.
She's got a country accent is what you're saying. Yep. Is that because we're in the South? Is that
yep.
what you're saying?
Yep. She's born and raised in the South. Hatched and raised.
That's pretty funny.
But yeah, they have different context calls. They have alarm calls. Mm-hmm. If you're Molly, you can mimic a fire alarm. Because we got a fire alarm.
Do you know this by experience?
I do.
Oh, wow.
We got a fire alarm installed in the amphitheater where she lives. And I got to hear it the whole car ride the next day. Fire alarm.
So. No.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And I guess this makes sense. They can hear that sound one time. Yes. And it's part of their now vocabulary, if you will.
We've had them ring like a phone and answer themselves. we had one that whistled the Andy Griffith theme song.
I kind of heard.
Okay. That's
a good show.
Okay.
They're pretty smart.
That's a good show.
That's pretty fascinating.
But yeah, so it's like by mimicking sounds like that too in their environment, it helps mm-hmm. them blend in mm-hmm. and adapt to their surroundings. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of reasons that they do that stuff. Mm-hmm. So she's great, right? But you've heard me say before, this is not a good pet.
Yes.
Right.
Do you remember a couple reasons why they are not good pets?
They live a long time.
They live a very long time. So,
yes.
Like I said, she's 28 years old. That's half her lifespan.
Wow.
Maybe. Like, they can live easily into their 60s and 70s.
Amazing.
You guys see her really big beak?
Yep.
This is for cracking open nuts and coconuts. Ooh. These guys like coconuts.
Coconuts. Very she can crack a coconut?
Yes, she can.
Wow.
Has a very strong beak. That beak on an animal with the emotional intelligence of a 2-year-old and your baseboards don't really mix.
Goodness. So she can do a lot of damage.
She can do a lot of damage.
And she could probably hurt you, too.
Yes.
She can definitely hurt you. They've got a lot of pressure in those beaks.
Okay, you stay over there, Molly. You're good just where
She's
you are.
Good. She's good.
Well, that's why we're all on her time.
Yeah.
But yeah, and also one of the biggest reasons they're endangered, which they've pretty recently upgraded or downgraded, however you want to look at it, to endangered. So that's worse than they were before.
Mm.
They're decreasing in the wild. One of the big problems that they face is the pet trade.
Yes.
So we tell people, do your research before you get a pet. Make sure you're getting them from sustainable places mm-hmm. and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, or just don't even get a pet because it just kind of fuels that whole trade.
Yeah, mm-hmm. this is it takes a very specific person to have. I couldn't have one of these in my house, mm-hmm. and I work with these for a living. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah, for most people, they are not good pets, but they do a lot of good things for the environment. That's why it's important that we save them, even though they're endangered. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that they do is seed dispersal.
I was about to say that.
Yeah.
Of course you know this. So if I would have brought a really large nut, which I should have done, I could give her a peanut, and you can kind of see it. They are very messy eaters, so they drop a lot of things when they eat. She uses her little foot to hold on to it.
Awesome. Yep.
And then everything she's dropping, do you know what that's doing?
Okay, it's dropping seeds.
Dropping seeds and for them to eventually grow to other plants.
Yep, they grow to make new trees.
Okay.
So,
wow. Well,
I could talk about her all day.
Just a little fertilizer.
She is.
Okay.
She is. A couple more things. How much does she weigh? And we've talked about other birds in the other past episodes. Is she one of those ones, her hearing, things like that, like her senses, things like that?
So they have lots of different senses that they use for communication. She does have ears. They're just not external like humans. She's got little holes on the side of her head. Mm-hmm. And then she's got this really pink, if she'll let me show you. Let's see. Bright pink.
Very pink.
Good job, Molly.
Now, she will sometimes stand that up, right?
She does when she's really excited, like when Christina Aguilera comes on.
Only for Christina.
This crest goes straight up. That helps her communicate.
Okay.
And then you're asking how much she weighs.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess? And I know you have some knowledge.
I'm gonna guess better from what I've learned. So I'm going to say she's no more than about 2 pounds.
Yes, and I haven't weighed her. But it's about 2 pounds.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Birds have hollow bones so that they can fly. So they're way lighter than they look. Mm-hmm. People are surprised to find out our bald eagle is only 10 pounds. And that's all because they're built to be light so they can fly.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
What a pretty girl.
She's pretty awesome.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, Molly, for being here and taking your time to be
with us, too. We know you have a busy schedule.
She wants to thank you for being on her show today.
We're on Molly's time and Molly's show. Isn't that the truth?
Thank you, Molly, for having us.
Well, we've covered a lot today. Brainiac birds. I mean, Molly was quite the hit,
she
I would say.
She is a wonderful animal and a great representation of her species.
I really enjoyed that. It was kind of neat to see all the things about her, problem solving, and really good discussion about conservation, too. Enjoyed learning a little bit about the pet trade, why you might not want to have her as a pet.
Right.
She seems like a handful.
She does. She does. And she's might not be too different from the rest of the animals in her species. So
we've
seen a good example of why not to own one as a pet, you said.
Yes, but she is definitely beautiful,
she is definitely beautiful.
A diva. So enjoyed having Hannah on with her.
And
so
yeah. We're lucky to have her as an animal ambassador for the Little Rock Zoo.
We are. We are. Yeah. So I definitely am so happy we got to learn about brain power today, learn about tool use and all the great things of the animal kingdom.
It's been a good episode, and I'm glad that we've been able to talk about that and educate ourselves and our listeners.
Always.
So we thank you all for joining us today. It's been a great episode.
Absolutely. And join us next time for another exciting episode of That's Wild.
We'll see you next time.